in the spirit, so that there can be demonstrations of the power of God. It's allowed to happen when we preach and teach in the spirit. The Holy Spirit will come down, people will get healed, delivered, and set free. The second thing that he talks about is human wisdom, and preaching of the cross is opposite. This is what he's saying. Human wisdom and teaching of the cross is opposite. And we know that. We know that human wisdom can't touch what Jesus done on the cross. Jesus gave us eternal life on that cross. Jesus blotted out all our sins on that cross. He blotted out all of our sins when he got on that cross. He took our sicknesses and our diseases and he put them in his own body on that tree. That's what he did. Now you tell me what human wisdom can do. It can't do none of that. My. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the natural man, he preaches from his intellect and his own will. That's how he preaches. The spiritual man preaches from the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's how he preaches. And the third thing Paul talked about, he said Christians, the revelation and the knowledge that they get is divine wisdom. The revelation that we get is divine wisdom from God. That's what the Christians get. Hallelujah to Jesus. And then he talks about the spiritual things, spirit received. Whatever we receive, the spiritual things, like joy and peace and love and gladness, healing and deliverance, he say spirit things are spirit received. So all those things that I just named out, those are spirit things. And they're received by the Spirit. So can you understand why the natural man can't receive that? Because it's spiritually discerned. It is of the Spirit. It's God himself. And God is not going to give anything holy to the dogs. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So this is a major problem in most churches. This is a major problem in most churches. We're dependent on the natural man to feed us the Word of God. And he can't feed us the Word of God because he don't know the Word of God. He can only read the words on the page. And the Bible says that those words on the page, there's no life in those words. The life comes when the life of God is in us. And then what we preach and teach is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Glory to God. You know, we have to understand that God is a good God. He's perfect in all of his ways. And the only way we can lead and guide the people properly is we're going to have to do it in the Spirit. We're going to have to do it in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And then we want to talk about that other thing. The other thing that we want to talk about is how God uses us. He uses us. Because we're the people that he's called to lead this world. I told you that before. We're called to lead the world. And no natural man have the power to do what God has given us to do. They don't have the power. You know? So we have to know that we have carnal people. We have carnal folks that's in leadership in the church. And they think that their worldly wisdom and understanding, their intellect, their college degrees,
all right,
qualifies
then
them
You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307.
They're weird people.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a little while, I want to talk about what the Lord is. What the Lord is. I'd like to think that David speaks not only from his heart and his soul, but he speaks experientially as a good shepherd, understanding the duties and the responsibilities that a good shepherd has, watching over and taking care of the sheep. David has been one of God's and Israel's premier shepherds. As a matter of fact, those of you who know the story, when Samuel got a word to go and anoint one of Jesse's boys, he brought in his seven sons, of which were big and brawny, and they were men of war and great stature. And Samuel looked at everyone and he said, God has a sense of humor. He said, I knew it would be one of these big old boys here to lead Israel as the next king. And he had to ask Jesse, do you have another? He said, well, yeah, I got another son, but he's a shepherd. Now, you got to realize that was a lowly job, a lowly title. It was one most times looked down upon. But isn't it good to know that no matter what you do, if it is done according to the word, the will, and the way of God, God who sees you has the power to promote you and elevate you above those who think they're more than you. They go and get David, they bring David in, and the anointing upon David's life was obvious, conspicuously so, to Samuel, and he pronounces him the anointed of the Lord, the next king of Israel. A little scrawny, just very, very small and of little stature, but he had a big heart. He had a heart after God. He took care of the flock of God. When a sheep was in trouble, David was watchful. And when the time came when a lion came and got one of the sheep, David defended the sheep. When a bear came, David defended the sheep. How did he do it? He destroyed them for messing with God's property. Now, I want you to know David has great experience with knowing how a good shepherd ought to function. Old folk used to say it takes one to know one. And so David says here in the text, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let me take just a few moments and I'll be through. First of all, let's look at the Lord. The Lord. Because there are three views I'd like you to see from the heart of David here about the Lord. First of all, who is the Lord? The Lord is the preeminent potentate. The preeminent potentate. Now, y'all don't use many words like that, so I'll tell you what that means. Preeminent, God means, it means that God is the supreme, the top, the best, the most. It's superlative. He is the supreme, supreme top, potentate, head of power, authoritative one. He is the sovereign God. He is the one who sits on the throne. David sees God as this preeminent potentate. In other words, it's the same God that Genesis 1 and 1 talks about. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who did it? God, the Lord. This is the same one David is talking about. And as you walk all the way through Scripture and anything that has to do with the Lord God, Jehovah, the preeminent potentate. In other words, there's none who's more powerful, none more prestigious. There is none more preeminent than God. David sees him in the most elevated light. And may I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you have a true relationship with God, you'll see him as the highest and supreme authority over and above your life than anyone else. There's no one who has more greatness, more grandness. There's no one who is more majestic and more marvelous. There's no one who is more wonderful than him. And so David sees him as the most elevated reality in his life, the premier, preeminent potentate. Secondly, he says, is my. He throws in this personal pronoun, my, now. Because though God is over all, David takes it personal when he says, my shepherd, because it means that God is his, here's this word, protector. David sees God as a shepherd who protects the sheep. Now, let me help you understand this. He's not just any protector. He's the most powerful protector that man has ever known. The most powerful protector that David has ever known. If I were to walk back through biblical pages of antiquity and tell you every time God took care of David, we wouldn't have enough time in the day for me to go through the stories. But David knows it experientially that he is a powerful protector. How many of you know God is a powerful protector in your life? See, listen, here's the truth of the matter. He's a powerful protector, but the question is he your powerful protector? David said, I can't speak for nobody else, but I can speak for myself. He is my shepherd. Shepherd. He has a powerful ability to protect, just as David on a lower level did with the sheep that he was committed to caring for. First of all, let me just tell you a little thing, a few things about his protection. First of all, David knew the power of a shepherd's vision. The power of a shepherd's vision. One of the things that a shepherd had to do was he had to be able to see from where he was, where he wanted to take the sheep, what was the best route to take the sheep, how long it would take to take the sheep, what provisions were there where he took the sheep. And so he had to plot out and plan out a course, have a vision for where he would take the sheep to as they went from place to place on their nomadic journey as the shepherd. A vision. A shepherd has to have a vision for the people of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so David knew that there must be a vision, and his God had a vision for his people. That's the reason God chose him to be king, and that there would be someone to sit on the throne that God established for David throughout eternity. And as we very well know, Jesus comes through the lineage of David. But let me tell you something else about the protection of God. His voice. He has a powerful voice. Shepherds in that day had voices that spoke to the sheep so well that the sheep heard, understood, and responded to the shepherd. In other words, the shepherd knew the sheep. It is said that the shepherd knew their sheep so well, they gave them names one by one. They knew their sheep so intimately that they gave those sheep's names. And then they began to give the sheep's command. And they began to whisper to the sheep. They began to show the sheep the power of their voice, especially when danger came. They worked so intimately with those sheep till they could hear the inflection of a shepherd's voice to know if that was a time of peace or a time of trouble or a time of adversarial problems happening just through the voice of the shepherd. That's why John talks about when Jesus went and put the sheep in the sheepfold, the porter came. And in that time, there was a great sheepfold where many different shepherds, when they were on their nomadic journey, would put the sheep in this big old sheepfold, this big barn, if you will. And they would separate the sheep, some of it by like boards or railings, etc. And your sheep would be, depending on the number of the sheep, they'd give them various spaces. For those who had large sheep, numbers of sheep, they'd get, of course, the biggest spots. Those who had the fewer got the smaller spots. But here is the thing. At the time when the shepherds the next morning would come to take their sheep out of the sheepfold, remember, you've got sheep from different shepherds all combined together. And when the shepherd would come to get his sheep, he would call for his sheep and they would come. Now, some used to say that the sheep would see the shepherd and follow him because they knew him. That was an Irish shepherd and an Israelite shepherd who had come together, and they said, what is the most powerful way that your sheep understood you? The Irish shepherd said, by seeing the shepherd before them. The Israelite shepherd said, well, that's good, but my sheep know me not by seeing me alone, but by my voice. So what happened was, the Irish shepherd said, I tell you what, give me your cloak. Give me your staff. Let me go out and lead your sheep looking like you. And so he called for the sheep to come. And they started, many of them going. Several of them stayed, but many of them started going. And when he got far enough away to say that he led the sheep away from the shepherd raised his voice and called out to the sheep, and the sheep stopped, and he called again, and they turned their head, and he called again, and they turned around, and they followed him. What was he saying to the Irish shepherd? That my sheep know my voice. What is that to say to the people of God? Listen, too many of us hear too many folk that claim that they are this, that, and the other. But when you know the voice of God for yourself, you cannot be misled by all of these folk who say they are, who think they are, who act like they are. When you hear the voice of God, you know the voice of God, and another you will not what?
Follow.
The power of their voice. Those sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And every one of those sheep had been in a situation where they had personally experienced the victory of their shepherds. So between the vision, the voice, and the victory of their powerful shepherds, they had a trust in him that was second to none. That's the way David knew God as his shepherd. And then lastly, not only was he the preeminent potentate, and not only was he the powerful protector, but the last portion of that verse says, I shall not want. Now, what does that make him? The perfect provider. The perfect provider. Somebody say perfect provider. Do you know, as a perfect provider, he truly knows what you need? See, you might be able to fool me and tell me, I need this, Pastor. I need such and such. But God knows what you really need. And he knows how much of it you really need. And he knows when you really need it. So you can't fool him. You might be able to fool everybody else around you, but you can't fool God. David was a man after God's own heart. And yet David, when he missed it, David recognized who he was dealing with. The preeminent potentate, the powerful protector, the father. He knew he was faithful. He watched over him. He saw him day and night, in trouble, out of trouble, in peace, in war. David knew that there was nothing God did not know about him. And because he was his perfect provider, he provided his daily needs. Didn't Jesus teach his disciples how to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here it is. Give us this day what? Our daily bread. Meaning what is sufficient for today and not tomorrow. Listen, you remember the story in Israel. God gave them manna from heaven every day, and it was required of them 6 days out of the week to eat the bread that God gave them daily. Only on the actual sixth day were they able to take enough for 2 days, because God would not allow them to work on the Sabbath day, so they had to gather enough bread for 2 days, which is that sixth day and the seventh day, which was the Sabbath day. But every other day of the week, he would only let them get enough bread for just one day. This day, our daily bread. Now, all of you dead folks sleeping up in here on me today, it's because you don't know him, but I'm trying to help you, because you need to know him as the preeminent potentate. You need to know him as the powerful protector. You need to know him as the perfect provider. And if you don't know it, that's the reason you're sleeping. That's why the devil's wreaking havoc in your life. That's why you can do all that you do and think that it is well. And then when you find yourself in a place you can't get out of, you truly don't know who to call, because you don't know him as your shepherd. But if you really know him, you can't hear about him and don't say nothing about it. Any real shepherd knows his sheep, but any real sheep... Old preacher in Louisville area used to say, amen to a preacher is like sic'em to a dog. When you don't say amen, it helps me to realize what state of mind you're in. And so if I can't preach to you, then I got to teach to you. Because those who know what I'm talking about, we can deal with just a little bit of the preaching and go right on to the shouting of the word, because we know because we're able to bear witness to what the truth already is. That's why what Jesus said about, he said about two by two, one to preach the word, the other to say amen to the word. So if the folk they were talking to didn't understand it, at least the one who was with him understood it. And he said, preach on, brother. Say that. I'm with you. I hear you. And so because of that, the preacher didn't get discouraged. And because of that, the witness was able to show that he bore witness to the truth. Any witnesses in the house? The Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, tell two or three people, if you're not ashamed of me, the Lord is my shepherd. Now listen at this, listen. If the Lord is your shepherd, listen. If the Lord is your shepherd, it means that you are a sheep who's a part of a flock. And if you're a sheep who's a part of a flock, then that means you follow him because he leads you. You're not a part of a herd where he drives you. And every now and then, I can't but help feel like I got a bunch of herds in the house, because I got to drive them to say amen. I got to drive them to praise the Lord. I've got to drive them to lift up holy hands. I've got to drive them to show their gratitude to God. I've got to drive them to give him praise in his own house when he done blessed you to make it through a week where you were catching hell. You were going through. You made it through the storm. You made it through the rains. You didn't know if you would make it to the day. But God. I said, but God. You trusted him. You leaned on him. You depended on him. And he made a way. Have I got any witnesses who can say, preacher, you don't know what I've been through this week, but by the grace, I said by the grace,